Thank you for checking out Coffee Pods, a coffee break length look into the Christian healing ministry. Through honest discussion, season 6 has us talking about when our own healing journey has been challenged. So, whether you're a cappuccino, a latte, or an Americano, there's something here for you. So pick up your coffee mug, plug in your earbuds, and let's talk. Everyone, and welcome to Coffee Pod Conversations. You're here with Wes.
Hi.
And also me, Lisa. And today we are continuing to answer some of your questions about the Christian healing ministry. And so today our question from one of you guys is this an attack? And so it's made us wonder, is the devil maybe getting too much credit? Or is there more in sickness than meets the eye, Wes? What do you think?
Great question. And, you know, it's one of those that if you could ever really work it out, I'd write the book and retire on it. It's interesting that we either give the devil too much credit or we don't give him enough. And can I just start by saying I have a healthy respect for the devil. I'm not afraid of him, but I have a healthy respect for him because It's about how spirituality and the law, the heavenly law, all come together. So, you know, within that. But it's C.S. Lewis who said in his Screwtape Letters, which you remember them, were the letters from a senior devil to a junior devil giving him advice about how to mess with Christians. And he says in the introduction to it, he says, there are two equal and opposite errors in which to our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. And so, you know, if we say there isn't any devil, then we put everything down to matter and luck and everything else. If we focus on it, then the devil becomes this magician who has, you know, I mean, I've met Christians who say that God and the devil are equal and opposite. And I say, no, they are opposite, but they're not equal, not by any stretch of the imagination. So I think, you know, you've got to find the point at which you can navigate through this.
Okay. In regards to sickness, then, what would you say is the role of evil or the devil in sickness?
Oh, gosh, that's the first chapter of the book, isn't it? I think it's a horrible feeling. Absolutely. If you've ever experienced it yourself or you've seen it in others, to see how non-human spiritual beings can get hold of people. And for most people, it's, you probably classify it as oppression, a pressing down on them, trying to shape their environment and their reality. You know, others, and if you've seen the film The Exorcist and all the others, then, you know, people think, well, it's demon possession. And that's much rarer in a sense. But it's not a nice thing if it's happened to you or you've seen it. Can I be honest, most of the time when it happens, you are not left wondering if it is or isn't demonic intervention. Something registers it within you that this is beyond human. Okay, so it's not like I've got to go and find out which rock the devil is hiding under. It's not really like that. If it's there, you just have a sense that it is. You're not working it out. Yeah. But maybe catch up on that in a minute. Two things then. I think one is the role of the devil or evil in sickness is general. So disobedience to God leads to distance from God, which leads to a dis-ease in body or mind or spirit. That said, God doesn't then send sickness because you've, you know, rejected him. It's just a consequence of putting distance between God, a bit like in a thunderstorm, stepping out from under an umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get wet. It's not that God says, well, okay, I'm going to specifically send rain on you because you're not under my umbrella. It's just the consequence. And disobedience leads to distance, which gives us a dis-ease. In the garden, Satan's deceit and involvement in his messing with us. So, yes, you could say, is Satan responsible for sickness? Well, in a general sense, yeah. If he hadn't messed with us in the garden, you know, chances are we wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
But he did. And can I just say, we agreed with him. So, yeah. you know, it's okay to say it's all his fault. Well, it is. But actually, I've agreed with, you know, with evil about my sin, you know, and whatever. And then, of course, there is the other thing, which is there is specific involvement in it. So you'll see from some of the Bible stories, some of the narratives that are there, that people are sick and at the root of it is some non-human demonic agent working in them and upon them, other than just simply, you know, infection or accident. And so there is clearly some demonic activity, and Jesus very clearly deals with it. Paul deals with it. And the early church has been dealing with it, and the church has been dealing with it ever since.
Yeah. And are you able to explain or just share a little bit about the story of Job? Because I think a lot of people may, like I would, jump to that story where it almost appears that God and the devil are working together.
Oh, great story. And do you know what the problem with that is? We are reading it with Western eyes.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So we're reading it as if it's been written by Dan Brown or Charles Dickens or something like that. We're reading it in a Western way. But of course, the East don't see it that way because they hold it much more with some ambiguity.
Okay.
Our problem is we try to bring everything down to one answer, right or wrong. Yeah. But actually, it's a bigger story. So for instance, Book of Job. Nowhere in the text does it say that God worked with Satan, agreed with Satan, and neither does it say that he caused any of Job's suffering.
Mm.
And you then come back to, and it's one of the things we cover in the School of Healing, thing about theodicy, about the nature of evil and how it operates. What it does say is that, in a sense, the message of the Book of Job is Satan challenges God. And actually what he really says is, you're just like me.
Hmm.
And God says, what do you mean? He says, well, you look after Job, you give him things, and that's why he loves you. He doesn't love you out of any pure motive. He loves you for what he can get. And actually the people that I control, that's exactly the same. And God says, but Job isn't like that. And Satan says, yes, he is. And God says, no, he isn't. And actually in the end, it isn't that God says, okay, you can really mess with Job because I like to see it.
Yeah.
Actually, what he's saying is, if you mess with Job, you'll find that you're wrong. Mm. And that's a way different story. And of course, we look at it as if this took years and years and years, principally because Job takes years and years and years to read. But again, in the text, there's no definition on that. It's a week, 7 days, and then some.
Yeah.
You know. And of course, one of the big questions is Job a real person or is he a fictional character?
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Job is one of the books of wisdom and it's written in poetry.
Amazing. That's really helpful. Thank you. Because, you know, we jump to stories as examples of what we're talking about. And I think that's probably one of the main go-to books or stories that we go to. So thank you. That's really helpful.
And I always think about, when I talk about that, I always think about Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
When you pick up an apple, you don't automatically assume, or a spinning wheel, or Snow White, you don't automatically assume that every apple is wrong.
Yeah.
But we tend to do that there. So that's the story of Job.
That's awesome. And so that sort of leads into my next question, which is about the role of discerning spirit. And how do we discern what is happening?
Well, that's a really great question, because I don't know about you, Lisa, but I could be really stupid. I could be really dumb,
yeah.
And actually my wife sees things a lot quicker than I do, sort of thing. But the interesting thing about it is that the gift of discerning of spirits is exactly that. It's a gift. It's a heavenly gift. It's a Holy Spirit gift. And God knows that you and I are going to need help to be able to work that out.
Mm.
And the trouble is we try and work it out out of our own minds. And so there's an issue there. We need the gift. And somebody actually pointed out way back about the healing ministry that the gift of the Spirit that the church is desperately in need of is the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
And for everybody who's now saying, no, Wes, it's the gift of love. Love is not a gift. Love is a fruit that grows. But anyhow, it's a revelatory gift, and it works as you put it into practice, as you keep using it. You have to sort of test it out. And so if there's a moment like that for me, I ask God questions. My question is, Lord, what can't I see right now?
Yeah.
What is hidden? What's going on here that I can't see? What's behind this? And of course, especially if things aren't shifting, or if things are not responding to prayer. I don't go sort of hunting for things under rocks, but I say, Lord, you're much better to sit down with a cup of tea and saying, okay, God, what is it that I'm not seeing? Please speak to me. And I think that's a particular emphasis for us in Acorn, to be able to turn towards God and say, Lord, we're going to need you to tell us what to do.
So say, for an example, you were in this position where something didn't seem right and you were asking God, like, what am I not seeing? That's, what you've just explained. What would you say are some of the characteristics that have made you question that? So potentially an attack might be happening. What are you seeing that's making you ask God those questions?
Well, the discerning of spirits comes down to, is it from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Is it from a human source or is it from a hellish source? Is it God? Is it man? Is it the devil? Okay. And actually that's the thing you say, Lord, have you sent this? And the answer is very clearly no.
Mm.
A three-year-old with cancer is clearly not. Okay. Are there human genetic things? Yes, possibly. But is there something else behind this? Particularly in a sense, if you can't see things shift despite lots of prayer. So for instance, if something... I would say things that are ill-timed, not just, oh gosh, this is inconvenient, but, just at the very moment that it shouldn't, you don't want that.
Yeah.
It hits you. And then something else and something else. If it's ill-placed, so issues of, I've known times when you've thought the arrival of this is so, so, so wrong.
Mm.
Okay, is there something behind this? And again, I'm not looking for things. I'm just saying they're the questions. Is it so freaky and unusual that you've sometimes I've thought, what?
Yeah.
Have you had moments you go, you joke it? What?
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, I think sometimes it's when things have such dramatic consequences that you think this person's falling and breaking their leg, right? I'm not saying Satan tripped them up, but I'm saying that the consequences of this are so far reaching. It's beyond any proportion of a bone that's broken, okay? And also, I think sometimes I ask when it comes horribly and relentlessly and mercilessly against the defenseless.
Mm.
And so I begin to ask some of those questions. And if it can't shift it, if, we've prayed and this thing is not shifting, then I might ask some other questions. Where's this come from? What's caused it?
Mm, very helpful. And so when an attack does happen, what could we do? How could I defend myself and help others in those moments?
I met a lot of Christians who think that because Satan is opposite to God, he's equal to God, as I said, and therefore we can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds twee and naive, but a bit like spiders. People say they're more afraid of you than you are of them.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, right. Okay. especially the big creepy ones. genuinely, the demonic is more afraid of you than you are of them.
Mm.
Much of it is masquerading, and I understand. And you know, one of the characteristics of Satan is that he counterfeits, that he masquerades. Absolutely, it's not pleasant. Absolutely, but you know, it's. And I think one of the things, the lies that he gives us, is that we are powerless and we cannot defend ourselves.
Yeah.
So one of the things I say to people is, God cannot override your free will. He has chosen. That's the way it is. If God cannot override you, your free will, and he is the supreme being, then a lower being cannot override your free will either, unless you let him, unless you give it up. So one of the things I think that the demonic is terrified of is the church discovering the authority and the power that it has.
Yeah.
Because if we discover that and live in it, then, you know, that's heading towards Jesus coming back again. So there's, yeah, there's a big thing within that. So how do you take action? Well, I would say, first of all, if you can, shut off the source. Okay. So however this is coming, shut it off. If it's internal, if it's stress, if it's something spiritual, and even for some people, I'd say, if you can't shut the source off, then remove yourself from it. You're not running away. You're being wise. And sometimes there are some people, and I've just said, okay, if that's the way it is, fine, I'm done.
Yeah.
And leave. But the thing that interests me is this, that Jesus does not coexist with evil in the Gospels. He confronts it.
Mm.
And he deals with it. And if I could put it this way, that's why he has given us his name. And if you've done any of the School of Healing, you'll know this little thing, that it's not the words that are said in the name of Jesus, it's the person who's saying them that's in the name of Jesus. Therefore, what they say is in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
So it's not like a magic formula. It's us who are in the name of Jesus. It says of the disciples that Jesus sent them out in his name. Okay, so there's a big thing. And if we have, if I ask for anything, it's that I might have a greater view of the name and the authority of Jesus that we are entrusted with. But also, I think one of the key things I'd say is, this is a weird story in the Old Testament. I think, I mean, some of them are, you think, gosh. And David goes out to fight with his army. And when he comes back, you know, people have robbed him and taken his family and everything else off. And basically what he does is he goes back to take back what's been stolen from him.
Yeah.
But he does it with his mates. He doesn't fight this on his own. And I think if I'd say to anybody, if you're fighting a battle with sickness that you feel is unnatural in a sense, then don't fight it alone. Get godly friends who stand with you. But also within that, one of the things that we learned in Vineyard to do was the vulnerable, we just bless, but we do our battling somewhere else.
Okay.
So, you know, where there were children who were sick, we don't do our warfare where they are. We bless them and then we go to another room and we sort it out there. Yeah. And so I would say, you know, the name of Jesus, scripture, worship, soaking yourself in the opposite, then seeds the ground with faith for prayer. And I think that's it. To anybody who thinks, you know, that perhaps they're in that situation right now, I guess I'd say, if it's just your own perspective, then get it checked out with other people first before you start believing it.
Yeah, that's really helpful, because I was actually just going to ask you if somebody felt like, is this, they were asking this genuinely now, is this an attack? And a huge part of it sounds as though it's about discernment from the early stages, is about bringing someone else in maybe to help discern. Because when you're in that moment, it can be particularly hard, I think, and, you know, unless you've got the gift, maybe I'm wrong. doing it with others.
And actually, can I be honest? God will give everybody and anybody the gift who asks him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in his vested interest to quit the church, to get it right. I mean, you know, one story, I met a guy who was convinced that what was happening to him was because he was demon possessed. And I just sensed in my spirit that he wasn't. But I didn't want to presume. So I said, God, what do I do? So I sat down with him. And in the course of about 10 minutes, on three occasions, I said to him, I speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then I carried on talking. Nothing happened, no reaction. And I did it three times. And at the end, I said, I can honestly say to you that you do not have that. He said, how do you know? I said, because I spoke to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth three times. And actually, if there's anything there, it will respond because it doesn't like the name of Jesus. I mean, it hates him, you know, which is why, you know, the demonic hates us as well, because we carry his name.
Yeah. Fantastic. Really helpful stuff, Wes. Thank you. I'm going to ask you as normal if you'll pray for those who are listening now.
I believe God would say to us today, my children, don't be afraid. Heaven is not afraid. So don't you be afraid either. My presence and my name are with you. So do not be afraid. And Father, I simply ask you today that for all those who are facing battles of heart, mind, or body today, I ask that you grant to them a revelation, a full seeing of the authority, wonder, beauty, and majesty of the name of Jesus, because at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for Coffee Pod Conversations. Thank you, Wes. And we look forward to catching you at next week's discussion, where we'll be answering one of your questions again. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Coffee Pods. We hope that you have found today's episode helpful and inspiring. If you have a question of your own about Christian healing, send it to info@acornchristian.org and we'll respond. For more information about Acorn, our events, and how to support our work, check out www.acornchristian.org. See you next time.